Hallelujah. And because he's alive, we're alive. Glory to God. We have eternal life abiding in us now. We're not going to. We have it now. Praise be to God. Well, Jesus, we thank you. You are the risen Savior. We declare your Lordship tonight. We declare you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, our righteousness, our Redeemer, our wisdom, our sanctification, the soon coming King. Glory be to you, Jesus. Words, Father God, hallelujah, cannot express all that Jesus is to us. We give you praise and honor. Jesus, we magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, it's just good to thank God that he's alive, that Jesus is alive. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Amen. Praise the Lord. He's alive today. Oh, a lot of other so-called prophets have come and gone. They're dead. We can take you to their grave. We can dig up their bones, but not Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he's alive. He's still using his. Glory to God. He's alive and well. Amen, amen, amen. Well, tell three or four folks that my Jesus is alive. And you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Well, thank God. Well, every once in a while, it's just good to get excited. And we don't do that at our church. Well, you're not at your church. If you're a visitor, you're at our church here. And we get excited about, hallelujah, what Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. And thank God. Welcome all of you watching on rhema.tv tonight. If you're on the Rhema app, thank you for tuning in and just join in with us. Go grab your Bible if you don't have it, or your iPad, your Android, whatever it is you've got. And we're going to get in the Word of God here for a little bit. Tonight, I want to just talk about a subject tonight and just remind ourselves, and just as way of maybe taking inventory of ourselves, that if we're not happy with what we have in our life, it could be the result of bad seed sown. Or if we are happy with what's in our life, it's the result of good seed sown. The whole the kingdom of God and the things of God work on a seed time and harvest principle or law, if you will. Now, that's not a new statement. I'm certainly not the first one to make that statement, of course, but in the Word of God, we see that. God's kingdom works according to certain principles, certain laws. And you see in the things of God a cause and effect. You also see in the things of God, God's part and man's part, whatever God does. And that's perfectly in agreement with covenant theology and understanding blood covenant. But just tonight, I want us to look at some of the basics of seed time and harvest, and of course, understanding this: if you don't sow seed, you can't have a harvest. That's just the way it is. Okay, and so tonight we're going to look a little bit on the side of the sowing, just for a few minutes here, and I want us to go to Galatians chapter 6. There's so much that we could say about this, and I don't think this is one of those biblical subjects that's about inexhaustible. Because if you begin to look, you start to see the seed and then the harvest. And sometimes, you know, we read in the Bible and it says, and suddenly, for instance, like in Acts 2:4, and suddenly there was a rushing sound from heaven. And suddenly, well, you know, it was suddenly to man, but it wasn't suddenly with God. This had been planned before the foundation of the world. In fact, Even if you pick up Peter's sermon, he picked up the seed. This is what God was, Joel was spoken through the prophet Joel. In other words, it had already been spoken. The seed had already been put forth. This was the harvest. And then he went on to say that this seed, that this harvest is going to be a continual harvest, because he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, not just the flesh that were there that day. Amen. But that seed, so you see, you know, a lot of times we think, well, God just suddenly. I think even about the Apostle Paul, you know, it seemed like suddenly a light shone from heaven round about him there, and he was on the road to Damascus. You know, knocked him all down off their horse or whatever they're on. And then Paul, you know, he's not able to see because of the brightness of the light. And Jesus speaks to him, and he recognized, he says, this is the Lord. He calls him Lord right off. But you know, this isn't the first time Paul's heard about it. I mean, Paul was there consenting to the stoning death of Stephen. You remember that? He's standing there holding the garments of those who threw the stones. What a sermon Stephen preached that day. Go back there and read it in the book of Acts. I mean, it seems like suddenly things take place, but you know, I'm telling you, seed time always precedes harvest. Okay, now, you know, this is time. I know I've been talking to my parents back home, and you know, with all the rain we've had here, and I saw Travis Meyer the other night on the news talking about the wheat harvest here in Oklahoma, how that in some places it's behind because we've had so much rain, because the seed didn't get in the ground as fast. I know back in central Illinois where I was raised, and we farmed grain farmed corn and soybeans and you know, the you need rain early, but then you need dry spell. God's why you've got to plant that seed, and then once the seed's planted, then and the statement is the farmer that they might say they haven't been able to get in the field. What does that mean? They haven't been able to plant because it's been too wet, and so because why they know it's come September, October, November. There's not going to be a harvest unless you plant seed in the spring. Now, it may appear to you and I like, oh, suddenly that corn just shot up. But no, it didn't suddenly happen. Praise the Lord. Seed time and harvest. Galatians chapter 6. I don't know, might have been Brother Bill the other night. Somebody mentioned this scripture not too long ago. It's either Brother Doug or Brother Bill, somebody here recently. And it got me thinking about this again. Verse 7. Read this from the King James. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, does that sound like a guarantee right there? It sure does to me. God's not mocked. I like one place I was reading. It said, God doesn't get confused. Amen. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Now, he goes on to say, he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, don't just center up on sowing to the flesh and think about, oh, bad. Look there, he says, but sow to the Spirit. So we ought to become experts in sowing to the Spirit. Why? Because we want life everlasting, right? What's the harvest that you want? I don't want that corruption. I don't think there's anybody in here tonight that would say, hey, give me some of that corruption, brother. No, we want that life everlasting. And so we have to learn and become experts and to learn how to sow in the Spirit. And it's not just, you know, sometimes because we've been taught, yes, we need to watch what we say because words are seed. But it's not just words. There's actions involved in sowing. There's a lot of different things that you sow, attitudes and with that. Verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. See, don't get weary, don't get tired sowing. Just because, listen, you know, you may not see the harvest yet, but for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now listen to this from the New Living, verse 7. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. at just the right time. Everybody say the right time. See, that's suddenly. It seems like suddenly, but it's the right time. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. You know, now you don't know, you've never heard of a farmer that's done this, because a farmer knows better than this, but I think sometimes we do this in our life. It'd be so foolish to plant seed and a week later go back up there and plow that field up. Why? You're going to kill the seed. Well, I planted the seed. It's been 7 days already and nothing's happened. Now that, even though now the seed comes up a lot quicker than that, now they've got it to where it really, you know, they've engineered it to where it really sprouts fast. And used to say knee high by the 4th of July, but if your corn's only knee high by the 4th of July in Illinois, now you're in trouble. You're going to have a late harvest, because it's at least shoulder and sometimes over your head by the 4th of July now, once it gets going. But I want you to turn to Matthew 7. But don't plow up. Don't give up after you've planted the seed. You know, Pastor's done us such a great favor in sharing the personal leading of the Lord that he got when the Lord told him, look, I want you to put something in every offering. Unless it's for you. He said, put something in every offering. I'm not so much concerned about how much, unless he tells you how much. I'm concerned that you plant seed in every chance you get. Now, that's just in offerings at church. That's just here. You know, there's opportunities to plant seed every day. But that's such a wonderful just illustration for all of us, is keep planting seed. Because the more seed you plant, and the more consistent you are planting seed, the more consistent is your harvest going to be. All right? Here in Matthew 7, here's another way to plant seed. Verse 12, therefore all things. Everybody say all things. So this works in every area, right? Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now notice, whatever it is, whatever the harvest is that you want, you sow that first. You do it first. You sow first. See, you remember Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given. See, the sowing comes first. So he said here, you want certain reactions out of people? You want people to be friendly to you? You're going to have to be friendly to them. It was impressed in me when I was a student here 31 years ago. We try to impress it in their current students. It ought to be impressed in every Christian. What you're doing right now is sowing seed to your future. And I know they talk to us about if you think you're going to be in ministry, you're going to get involved. You're going to pastor a church, get involved here. Get involved places, volunteer, because you're going to need a harvest of volunteers someday. You want people to tithe to your church, you tithe to the church you're part of right now. Well, I could have gone all night with saying that, but all right. Amen. You see, you want certain things in your life later on, then start sowing the seed for that now. Glory to God. Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And again, see how this is the whole essence of how God operates. Let's go back in Genesis chapter 1 and see something here. Some people have called this the law, if you will, or the principle of Genesis. That every seed produces after itself, after its own kind. That's why if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. If you sow of the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit. Because everything produces after its own kind. Here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, we'll read this first from the King James, then go to the New Living. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now let me read this from the New Living. And God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, the trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. See, this is how, even in the beginning, the creation of this earth, God created it to produce after itself. How many of you have ever planted any type of food, vegetables, anything like that? Did you get what you planted? You didn't plant tomato seeds and get, you know, cucumbers, did you? No. Everything produces after its own kind. That's, again, why when you sow to the Spirit, you're going to produce spiritual results. Okay? Now, look here in Genesis chapter 8. Now, here after Noah, and I don't care who says it didn't happen, this happened. Okay? Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, after the flood was over. And boy, if you were outside yesterday, about the time you saw that beautiful double rainbow we had here in this area, and it's reminded, was such a reminder of the covenant that God made with man that he would never again destroy the earth. But he made a statement here in verse 22 of Genesis chapter 8. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now notice that. Shall not. That's a guarantee. We cannot make a stronger statement than to say something shall or shall not happen. And when God says it, it's a guarantee. It shall not cease. Seed time and harvest shall not cease to happen. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap. Whatever sown in this earth, the earth's created that way. It will produce what is sown in it. Whatever we sow, the words that we speak, the actions that we take, it will produce results like the action or like the words. Amen. You know, I marvel sometimes at people that they always want to be judgmental and hard and mean on folks, but they always want mercy. If you ever thought about this, how about asking yourself, how would you like to be treated in that situation? How would you like to be treated? Amen. You know, I'm thinking of Galatians 6:1, if your brother is overtaken with a fault. Now, I'm not sure, we'll have to get Brother Doug back in here and figure out if a fault is a mistake or a sin. But if you're overtaken in a fault, sorry, that was a cheap dig, but I did it anyway. If you're overtaken in a fault, he said, if your brother's overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. So if you catch somebody, you see, when somebody is placed, let's say you find out something about somebody and it's placed in your hand, how are you going to handle it? Are you going to be spiritual and bring about restoration? Or are you going to be part of bringing about condemnation? Now, understanding, see, people make wrong choices in this area all the time, and then don't understand why when they get into a situation, people aren't merciful to them. We reap what we sow. If you want love and mercy, sow love and mercy. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's putting it, reversing it, but saying it in our modern. Now, another area, now I didn't, those of you up in the control booth, could you get to 2 Corinthians 9 for me? I want to read that, then we'll go to that last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. We're out here. that this scripture came up in my spirit as we were out here worshiping God. Didn't those folks, young folks, do a wonderful job tonight? Amen. We're so blessed here. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, now he's talking about sowing and reaping and that type of thing, but I want you to see something here. Out of verse 10, just an interesting thought. The importance of the seed. Its seed is so important that God provides you the seed before the harvest. Because God knows this, why? The seed will produce the harvest if you'll use it, if you'll use the seed. If you'll plant the seed, it will produce the harvest. So many times we're going to God, we want the harvest, but we haven't planted the seed. And what God gives us is the seed. Now we have to be able to recognize seed. Think about the woman who was a widow. Her husband was a prophet, and she was a widow. And now the creditors are coming to take her two sons away, right? Till the debt's paid. Then what happened? The prophet came by there, and she came out and told him the story. He said, "Well, what do you want me to do for you? What do you have in the house?" Now to her, she said, All I have in the house is this little cruse of oil. That's all I have. He said, "Go get pots, borrow them, and borrow not a few." In other words, get a bunch. They should have went into the pot making business, but they didn't. And he didn't say, you know, "Where's your harvest?" He said, "What do you have?" See, because what you have right now, let me make this statement too. What you and I have right now is the seed to our future miracle and harvest. What you have right now. These Corinthian folks here, Paul was talking to them about the Macedonians who didn't have any money, and so they gave themselves. And then they got a harvest back. And now they're giving an offering. They gave an offering to Jerusalem, to the saints in Jerusalem who were heavily persecuted. See, you may sit there and think, "I don't have anything." You got breath in your body? Amen. Right? You got 24 hours a day just like everybody else. Amen. Use what you have. Use what you have. Now here in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10, he says, "And now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for you." Well, that's true. If you're not a sower, don't know how much seed God's bringing your way. "He that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food," and notice this, "and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Glory to God. God, you know, instead of, you know, saying, "Well, God, you know, I need a miracle. Well, God, I need a miracle, God." Now, he can do those things. Praise the Lord. We ought to be keeping our eye out for the seed. Where's the seed? What seed do I have? And like I said, if it's just your time, you've got something to sow. You've got something to give. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, I want to end with this tonight. Because here's the nitty gritty. How many of you have a job? Okay. How many of you in your job, you work for someone else? Okay. How many of you work for yourself? You own your own business. Okay. Some of you do that. Praise the Lord. But let's look here in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, he talks about servants and masters. So I'm going to use employees and employers here, okay? Because this applies more to our situation. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. "Employees, be obedient to them that are your employers, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart." Now, notice this. "As unto Christ." Now, either underline that, mark that, put that in your notes somehow. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, Now here again, as unto Christ, now he says, as unto the Lord. And he says, you're not a man pleaser, you're actually working, he says, as servants of or employees of Christ. Doing the will of God from your heart. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. Now look at verse 8 then. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Or whether you be the employer or the employee or the employer. Now what's he talking about there? He's talking about seed time and harvest. Now see, he's telling us here, look, remember, now I said these things affect every area of life, seed time and harvest in every area of life. What kind of seed are you sowing on your job? Are you working as unto Christ? Are you working as the employee of the Lord and sowing that seed? Or are you letting the flesh get a hold of you? Letting your flesh rule you? And, you know, you work, you get, you know, now if your boss or supervisor is watching you, boy, you're after it. But the rest of the time, you know. Hallelujah. The Bible says, encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm going to encourage myself right now because I'm not getting any help from any of you. I mean, we love talking about seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping, and oh, you know, and people get excited about 30, 60, 100 fold. What about in this area? What about here? This is where the more of us actually can relate to this. But do you see how these things work in every area of life? See, that's why I just wanted to end with this, because it works in all these areas. Now, go. I want to look at this from the New Living Translation. Actually, I told them New Living. Can we do the Message instead? The Message Bible. We got such wonderful folks volunteering in our media department, and they can do things on the fly and help us out here. Ephesians 6:5, this is the Message Bible. Servants, again, employees, respectfully obey your earthly employers, but always with an eye to obeying the real master, Christ. Don't just do what you have to do to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. And work, I like to work with a smile on your face. I have to work on that one. Mine just natural face is a frown. I can't help it. I don't know why. It just is. So a lot of times people think I'm mad, and I'm really not. What are you mad about? Nothing. What are you thinking about? Absolutely nothing. That's a true answer. Come on, guys. Come on, help me. Man, what are you thinking about? Nothing. And that's true. That's not a lie, ladies. We're not trying to avoid anything. In fact, you woke us up. I didn't know. Was I supposed to be thinking about something? You know. Come on, help a brother out here. What was I supposed to be thinking about? You know, it's not your birthday. It's not our anniversary. You know. But work with a smile on your face. Always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. Good work will get you good pay from the master. Regardless whether you are, he says, slave or free, whether you are the employee or the employer. And in verse 9, he goes on to say, it's the same with you, masters, it's the same with you. See, the same thing works with you. How are you treating your employees? You know, remember this, and he says, remember this, you have a master in heaven. Sowing and reaping. I know, you know, a lot of times people, again, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. That's not just putting an offering in the offering bucket. That's in how you work on your job. Because he says, the way you work, you're doing it as unto the Lord. You're giving. What do you have? What do you have to give to that place of business? You have your time. You have your abilities. You have your energies. You're giving. You're making. You're sowing into that business. And if you'll do it as under the Lord, whether they ever recognize or pay you or not, God will make sure that it comes your way. And it seems like, and suddenly, someone walked up to me and gave me $1,000. There was no suddenly about it. I've been sowing seed. I've been working with a smile on my face. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I tell this story, and I never really intended to ever. I didn't do this to have a story to tell, but there for 6.5 years when we were associate pastors there at Family Worship Center in Carrollton, Kentucky, our bank was up about 12-13 mile drive away up, you know, up a hill and holler in Kentucky. There's no straight road in Kentucky. All right, you're all right. So it was a drive up there, and I enjoyed going up there, and. Across from the bank was Trustees. Trustees was the name of the people. They had a little general store there, and they served lunch. You could get a fresh sandwich. You understand what I mean by fresh? People wonder, well, what's a fresh sandwich? I mean, they're going to slice it right there for you, you know, and the bread's real bread. Not packaged. They make, you know, they're going to slice it, and, you know, and you get, anyway. Hallelujah. He's saying, shut up. I want to go eat. But, and then in the wintertime, they'd always have some, you know, chili. Now, chili up there, the closer you get to Cincinnati, the more noodles they put in chili. So they always had some good chili up there. But next door, right in the same building, but next door, if you wanted to use the restroom, you had to go outside and go actually, it was the Masonic Lodge there was upstairs, but it was the downstairs of that. There was a restroom there, and if you needed to use it, you go in there. And not too long after I started going up there and going in there, you know, it wasn't always the cleanest place in there. And you know, I'm starting to think, well, why, who and what in the world? How come nobody ever cleans this? And I saw there the cleaning supplies right there, and down on the inside, I heard, why don't you do it? I said, that's a good question. So for about 6 years, every time I went up there, and I usually go up there twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays, with the offering, you know, deposit in the bank, twice a week, I'd clean that toilet up there. Was it fun? No. But there was a lot of times, you know, I'd have to make myself think, I'm doing this as under the Lord, and change my attitude. Change my thinking. Why? You know, we've learned wrong thinking leads to wrong believing. Wrong believing leads to wrong actions and wrong confession, and that leads to not reaping the right thing. Amen. So, I mean, there was times I thought, who has been up here? You know, and in the winter it's cold. There was no heater in that place. But you get out, the brush was there. And they probably thought, who's using up all these supplies? Because when I left the place, it looked good. I'm just going to tell you right now. Okay? Sometimes, you know, you clean it before you go in there. But for 6 years, did that. And never. And you know, I told the Lord, Lord, I said, unless you make me, I don't ever want to tell anybody. I never told anybody when I was there that I did that, ever. Now, I know you're thinking that now somebody, you know, somebody's volunteered to clean all the toilets in my house. No. I still do them. But see, I'm talking about looking for opportunities. I'll guarantee you, there's been times that things were going to run up short, and that seed that's been sown has come back. Amen. Amen. I know there's things in ministry, you know, things that God has told me to go do, and I'm thinking, there's no way, God, I can't, you know, where's that going to come from? How are we going to do that? Cleaning toilets. I've mowed a lot of carpet in churches. vacuum, folks, okay? I know some of you think, why did he take his mower in the... Did you have that shag carpet? You see, I learned early on, whatever needs to be done, let's do it. And we're sowing seed. Don't be like the person that told me one time, we asked folks, you know, folks, we got this event coming up. We need to stack all the chairs, and we're all stacking chairs. And I asked this person, I said, hey, can you get that chair and bring it over here? No, brother, that's not my calling. Now, this person had ministry aspirations. Now, listen to me. This person had ministry aspirations. In fact, you know, they were always upset that they weren't considered ministry staff. Because they couldn't override that thinking in her, I noticed they never did get into a calling. Because they weren't called just to help and serve. You know, those of you in here, you know God. You know God has a, and everybody in here, God has a plan for your life. God has a calling on your life. Talk about sowing and reaping. I found this out. As I got involved, and over the years, got involved helping someone else bring what God's called them to pass, helping bring their vision to pass, helping them fulfill what God's called them to do, I've gotten to do things that I never would have met, over far and above what I ever thought. I've been places around the world I never thought I'd ever go, never dreamed I'd ever get to go there. Amen? But it's not about, you know, sometimes, you know, in our sowing and reaping, I found this out, it's not selfish. It's not about being selfish. It's about sowing out of the heart of love for people. Just be a blessing. Amen? Well, there's some things about sowing and reaping, just some things to think about. Probably not a whole lot of new things. But realize this, every day you have opportunity to create tomorrow's harvest. Every day. What kind of harvest are you creating? Are we sowing to the Spirit? Or are we sowing to our flesh? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, for your word tonight. We thank you, Father God, that as we worshiped you in the beginning of the service, Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. That grave could not stop him. Glory to God. He rose from the dead. He was that seed, that kernel of wheat sown into the earth. And the harvest came forth. And as one man died and gave his life and sowed his life so that we might live, we have an abundant harvest. And that harvest is yet. And when the harvest is fulfilled, you will send him back to collect his body. Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight. Thank you, Father, for giving seed to each and every one of us, for ministering seed to us, the sowers. Father, help us to discern, to know how to sow spiritually, how to sow to the Spirit so that we might reap life everlasting. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. If our prayer team would go ahead and come right now. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, I want to invite you to come forward and pray with these, with our prayer team, the ladies on my right, your left, the men on my left, your right. Come on down and they'll pray with you, agree with you according to the word of God. If you need prayer for anything whatsoever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm just kind of waiting on God to see if there's anything there. Just kind of making sure. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Let's all stand. Connection team, if you find our first-time guests, take them to that special place to receive the gift. That, on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagan, we want to thank you. Church, let's give them another hand clap for being here tonight. Our special guest tonight, thank you so much. All right. Don't forget, hey, sign up, help out. I like to think of it this way. We're part of the family. We're part of the Rhema family, the Rhema Bible Church family. Coming up here on the 28th at night, 5 o'clock, we got chores to do. How many of you ever had chores in your family? In other words, you had some. We all got some chores to do. Get involved. Find something to do to help out. Glory to God. Sow some seed. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed when you got something to do. How many people are going to show up to help you? Sow some seed, glory to God. Let's all get involved, get the chore done. It's going to be a great, great blessing to everybody. Read your bulletin, find out all that's going on, and we'll see you back on Wednesday night. Pastor Hagan, be here, preach the word of God. All right? Everything good? We good? God bless you. Shake hands with several folks. Love on them. In Jesus' name.